I just think they're awesome. Or there's a wine opener, like it's like a corkscrew thingy, and you just press a button and it takes the corkscrew out of your wine. So it's like, you know, if you're sitting there and you're trying to take a cork out of a wine bottle, and you're a girl like me that likes her wine.
Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of the Socket Podcast, and I am Van Tucker. If you're just coming into your first episode, we're excited to have you here. The Socket Podcast is a podcast featuring conversations with the global amputee community. Our whole goal is to improve the quality of lives of amputees. Today, I'm excited that we have Heather Harms from Winnipeg, Canada, and we learn her story from her amputation in 2013 to even tricks and tips from everyday life, from opening wine bottles to adapting her life with her prosthesis. Without further ado, let's dive in with Heather. Hi, Heather. Welcome to the Socket.
Hi.
Hi. How you doing? Really excited to have you here.
Thank you.
So we got the bell, the clock going off. You know that. You know what time that means? It's time for the Socket. We have our own bell on the clock.
Sorry.
No worries. That's cool. So how's your morning been going so far up in Canada?
It's great. Yeah, it's a beautiful day here. So I think it's going to be like plus 25 degrees Celsius here in Winnipeg. So it's beautiful. Nice and sunny.
Awesome. And, you know, I always like we have those chimes in the background. It makes it very nice and relaxing. So
I can't turn it off. It's like it's from 1938, that clock. It's really old.
That's cool. So, You know, the cool thing about our podcast is, you know, our whole goal with the Socket is to really showcase individuals, just every conversation in the world. You know, our goal is to interview practitioners, world-class athletes, and anyone and everyone is our whole goal of the podcast. And, you know, one thing I found about you is that your whole thing is about helping others and, you know, really being spreading positivity. And I even noticed you kind of been, you know, exploring different technologies and things like that. So for us, as we kind of dive in, I kind of love to learn more about you and your background. So can you share your background with us a bit?
My background as, I went to the University of Winnipeg when I was younger, and I was in finance. I even was a bartender for a while. Mm-hmm. I kind of played at odd jobs or whatever. I was really interested in doing a lot of things. I have always lived in Winnipeg, except for a while I lived in British Columbia. I love to travel. My husband and I love to travel. I have three kids, a 20-year-old, an 18-year-old, and a 15-year-old. We have a big family. We have lots of friends around us all the time. We love to go to the beach. I'm a Manitoba Open dart champion. That's a fun one. We love to go to the cabin. That's just us in a nutshell, our family. We're just a normal family here from Canada.
That's awesome. And, you know, you kind of dropped there talking about being a dart champion, and that's something that's pretty cool. You know, I've never met a dart champion, so it's the first time I ever talked to a dart champion. So, you know, you're talking, you know, before we started recording a little bit about your dart champion and how, you know, you kind of been adaptive with that, you know, before your amputation. So how, can you tell us more about, like, you know, how, what's it like being a dart champion and how you've been kind of adapting yourself to that?
It was a long time ago when I was younger, where I was bartending and going to school, and my girlfriend asked me if I wanted to play darts with her in a dart league, and I said sure. So, and we ended up doing really well, and then these other people asked me to join their team, and we went to the Manitoba Open, and then there we won, and then we got to go to Vegas to compete internationally. After that, when I was playing against just regular people, I would play with my left hand because I didn't want to beat them too harshly, I guess. I felt bad, you know, because I was really good and I didn't want to be, make them embarrassed or whatever. So I guess now I realize that you can pretty much do anything as an amputee, I can do anything with my non-dominant hand. When I was in the car crash and I lost my arm in 2013, I've realized no matter what, you can do anything with your non-dominant hand. Like, no matter what, if you try, it might take you a little longer, but you can do it.
That's awesome. And that's where, you know, we kind of, positivity is kind of like a major part of your life. So I was wondering, you know, as you're kind of trying to get, you know, with your non-dominant hand, how did you kind of remain positive when you're kind of going through that? And do you have any techniques to kind of remain positive, even when like this is the bad days that you have when you're, you know, not every day is the perfect positive day. So how do you kind of manage that?
Well, I think you have to look at it like a learning experience rather than a pain in the butt, like honestly. And you have to think about every day like a new day rather than this thing that's building up on top of you. So if you look at, oh, wow, I get to learn how to write with my left hand, or I get to learn how to cook, and I get to learn how to experience all these new things where these people don't get to. It's like a wonderful gift rather than a hindrance. So all you get to show the world that you are awesome, you know, and you're beautiful. You're more beautiful than other people because you're unique. And that's the way I feel about myself.
That's incredible, Heather. Just love that. And, you know, especially kind
of. I'm gorgeous, man. Mm-hmm. Like, holy, look at me. And like, it's really neat because I have a prosthetic now, right? Mm-hmm. So I went 7 years without it. And now I get to learn how to do things with my prosthetic. So it's pretty cool. But nice. It is challenging. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah. And that's a good kind of segue about it, you know, because it sounds like you know, over the years, you kind of explored, you know, many different products. And so what was like a product you discovered that was like, wow, I wish I had discovered that sooner?
Are you talking about prosthetics, or are you talking about like products that I use in my daily life to help me? Because there's a different way to look at everything, right? Mm-hmm. So so things that I use like in my daily life, like I would say an automatic pepper grinder is like so awesome when I don't have my prosthetic on. Like, okay, so I have automatic things that I use all the time that I love, and sometimes I'll show them on like my Instagram or whatever. And I just think they're awesome. Or there's a wine opener, like it's like a corkscrew thingy, and you just press a button and it takes the corkscrew out of your wine. So it's like, you know, if you're sitting there and you're trying to take a cork out of a wine bottle, and you're a girl like me that likes her wine, yeah. And you really need it, not needed, but want it, you know? And I don't know, there's some products like that, but for when it comes to prosthetics, the co-opt control system is awesome. Like when I was putting together my prosthesis, as soon as I tried that co-opt control system, it was just amazing. Rather than having two sensors, you have like 15 in the inside of your prosthetic, and it makes the control of your hand, your prosthetic hand, so amazing. Like it's just really cool. So that's that answer.
That's awesome. I really like, you know, because that's the whole idea. You know, there's so many additional things out there besides the actual prosthesis, you know, for products that you help. So it's awesome to kind of have you share those like automatic products and also the prosthesis. So, you know, kind of going, you know, the prosthesis story, you know, for you is, you know, getting, you know, prosthesis is for upper extremity, you know, there's often a lot of friction and a lot of negotiation and how to do it. So, and a lot of times it's like, it takes a lot of patience and grit to do it. So kind of talk about how you kind of gone about and managed those waters and kind of actually got it over the years.
Like for the prosthetic?
Yeah.
Okay. So I had, you know, I don't know why my story can't ever be like just, hey, I got it, and then it's good. Like for me, my story is always so convoluted. But I guess that's what
I don't think it's just you. I think it's most stories are not just nice and clean, you know. You may hear the clean, but you miss the whole middle of the story. You may hear the beginning of the story and the end of the story, but you know, most people's stories are kind of convoluted in the middle. So don't feel it's just you for sure.
Yeah. Well, I got a prosthetic, my first prosthetic, which was a couple years back. And I had it for about 10 months. And it just stopped fitting properly. And all the sensors weren't getting connection properly to my arm. Mm-hmm. And it was also a lot bigger, like the actual socket itself was a lot bigger. And so it had the co-opt control, like the first 1.0 in it. And then so I had to give it back and they had to build me a whole new socket. Winnipeg Prosthetics and Orthotics had to build me a whole new socket. And so this prosthetic that I have now, I just got in March, this past March. Mm-hmm. So then they built it, they rebuilt it with a smaller battery and a new socket and a sleeker socket and a different fit. So now I use a parachute to put it on and same hand. And everything, but so I've just kind of gotten that one back. And so I go to physio every week and do this because it weighs 10 pounds. So, and I'm a pretty small girl, so like I have to do a bunch of physio training and like kind of retrain myself. But that all it is making sure you don't give up and keeping to a routine and working on it all the time and just not like just putting it down and putting it in a corner and being like, I don't want to do that, because you're going to nothing is going to be perfect all the time, and it sometimes might be painful, and some days you might only be able to wear it for an hour, and some days you might be able to wear it for three, and some days you might not want to wear it at all, which is okay to give yourself a break, but just know that you shouldn't be too hard on yourself. I think that's what it is. That makes sense.
Exams crystal clear. So
that's okay. Awesome.
And I think that is a good, you know, motive, you know, it's really inspiring to others. This could show that, you know, it's not as easy. It's not like you're going to get your prosthesis on day one and just go for it and say, oh, it's going to be, my life is ready to go. I'm going to wear it all day long. And it's going to be, you know, it's a journey to get it all integrated. And sometimes it's still, you may not use it all day, but it's more a tool that you have.
Yes. Yeah. And you can pick and choose, and you shouldn't feel bad if you get this arm and then you don't put it on and then suddenly feel like your whole life is solved. Like that's not how things work ever in anything. Right.
Exactly. And kind of going about that, you know, so once you got your amputation, how did you kind of handle, you know, just going from once you got, you know, post amputation, it's just the response you had from others, you know, like with the community and people that you kind of came across. How was your experience with that, and how did you kind of navigate those waters?
Oh, so I had a lot of really amazing people around me. I had a really great support system. Sometimes, though, people said things and did things that were really, and they still do. I'm not saying that that doesn't ever happen, but like I just can handle it different because it's been almost 8 years. But they would sometimes say things that were a little insensitive, like, you know, making statements like, oh, I would rather die than lose my arm, you know, like because it might they would make the decision for me that I could never do their job with one hand, or I would say that they didn't even realize what they had said, you know what I mean? Or that people would come up to me, and which they still do, and, oh, you must be so happy that, like, thank God for technology, because this has probably made you feel so much better if I'm wearing my prosthetic, right? Or just things like that, I guess. Like, you just handle it. And I still don't really say too much back, which I probably should, but I just don't want to get into a big ableism debate with people in the middle of a restaurant that I'm sitting at with my friends, because I think it's more of a thing that I maybe post on social media or something, or I would, because it's not a place and time for that. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I wish people would be maybe think about what they're saying before they say it. That's what I think about that.
Yeah, and that's kind of, I was doing another podcast recently with Ashley Young, and you know, she was talking about once she got her new prosthesis and she got a nice cover for it, so it looks nice and beautiful. She yeah. actually loved it because everyone would walk up to her and say, "Oh, look at that!" You know, it's actually so she kind of wears it also as like a fashion piece with her. You know, she has different covers on it and things like that. And she was talking about how that made it, much more approachable. Sometimes, you know, people said it a little more, you know, when you made it kind of become like a fashion piece versus someone just walking up saying things that they, you know, may not even realize what they're saying. Like you're saying, it's kind of not thinking, yeah. they're just kind of talking and they may not even realize they even hurt someone's feelings. You know, it's like, wow, they just went on with their life. It's like, whoa.
And that's, yeah, it's, they don't realize it. And that's why it's just that maybe if they were to read a post, then they might think about it, but you don't want to, they don't realize it. So it's not something that I want to sit there and argue with them or lecture them in the middle of a restaurant. It's not, you know, they don't, it's just societal. That's all. And I have never met another amputee, upper limb amputee. I've met lower limb amputees. There's lots of them. You know, at occupational therapy and stuff like that, but I've never met another upper limb amputee in person. So odds are those people had never met another upper limb amputee either. So like, I can't really fault them for coming up and saying stuff like that, you know, but really they should leave me alone when I'm out, but whatever.
Yeah. That's true. That is, you know, when I was a child, one of my dad's best friends, he had an upper extremity amputation. And, you know, this was when I was a child. So when I was a kid, I'd go to his house and he would have a whole wall with different, these were mostly all hook systems, different type of hooks and different things. And he had them for all his different activities because he had them for driving his car, for playing the drums, for cutting the grass, all these different things. And I would always go around and, you know, play around with them, and we had all kinds of fun because he kind of made it a fun activity for me to kind of expose me to all these different things. So that's what, since I was like 4 years old, I remember kind of playing around with these little tools. So that's how I kind of got exposed to the whole thing myself. So, but you know, a lot of people are not exposed to it. So, you know, since 2013, you know, you got your, amputation. So what type of resources kind of helped you along the way? You know, you kind of mentioned just now you haven't met another upper extremity before. What resources have you kind of leveraged to help you along the way as you had questions and things like that?
When I first lost my arm, I couldn't find really anything. It was weird. There was nothing on the internet. When I looked on the internet, I couldn't really find anything. And then I found Nicole Kelly on the internet and Angel. Do you know her? Like, I don't know. There are two
Angel. Entities. Yep. I know her. Yep.
And then Nicole Kelly. So I messaged Nicole Kelly and asked her, like, where she got her arm, because I wanted something like that. And she answered me back, I'd have to find a prostheticist. And I said, okay. So I went, and the only one available to me was like a Michelangelo arm. Like, that's what my insurance company said to me. And so it was really heavy, and it only came one size man hand, and my hands are like really, really tiny. So I said, no, I don't want that. And then so a couple of years later, I went down to Dominican Republic with my family. And I met a man there who worked at Autobach, from Germany.
What's the chances?
He walked up to me and he just grabbed my arm. He said, may I? He didn't grab it. He said, may I? Like, why don't you have a prosthetic? And I said, oh, there's nothing that fits me properly, or it's too big, it's too heavy. He said, oh, there are. Have you ever looked at the Ottobock? You know, and it's just been sold to the North American company. And so I said, oh. So I researched it myself, and I picked what I wanted. I researched all the hands, I researched everything. And then I went and I called Winnipeg Prosthetics and Orthotics. And we went to town on designing my, and then they went to a conference and they found the co-op system, and then they had that brought in. And then I had to get it approved from our insurance company, because we'd never had one here in Canada. And got it approved after a few years arguing with them.
Negotiation, arguing.
Yes, yes. It wasn't arguing, it was talking.
Pressure.
Yes.
Yeah. So good job on that. You know, it's kind of, you know, it, that system, you know, the buy design, you know, it's expensive, and they, you know, like we, it's a hard process to get through. So good job on pushing that through and being the first one. That's a great thing. That's a big thing for you. You know, you could you set the path for others to help.
Yeah.
Make it easier.
As far as that goes. And like, but there was no one, since there was no one else, there was no one here that was trained on it. And so they, you know, like none of the occupational therapists or the physiotherapists or anything, like, so we're all kind of learning together. And that was really interesting too. It was frustrating at times, but it was interesting, you know, like we all got to learn together, and it was really cool. So if I didn't have the personality that I had, then maybe it would have been a kind of a negative thing, but I kind of like learning new things.
Yeah.
And so when you're learning with others, and it's weird, but when you don't have someone to go to, like, that knows for sure. So it was difficult sometimes, I guess, because I have this wonderful arm, and then no one really knows how to use it properly at first.
Yeah.
So it was neat. But as far as other things, I just kind of had to navigate my way by myself, because there was, like, you know, there's really no one missing an arm here in Winnipeg. Like, it's all lower extremities, from diabetes or from things like that. So
it's incredible. And, you know, that is, so when I was kind of doing some, you know, research on you, I noticed that you're starting a new website, it looks like, called myamputeelife.com. So,
yeah.
You know, be cool to kind of tell us more about your goal at the website, and, you know, what your vision is for it.
Well, what I want to do is share everything I've learned over time. Like, for example, like products that I really like, and how I find them useful. And like, for me without my prosthetic, and then products that I like, you know, or little tips about using my prosthetic, and exercises that I like. Well, it was going to be for travel, and like traveling as an amputee, and cool places to go and things like that, because my husband and I travel a lot. But I guess with this COVID thing, well, that's not going to be happening for a while. And you know, little tips about, you know, I have lupus too. So little tips about having lupus as an amputee, and just things to do and watch out for. And so just a lot of different things. And, you know, fashion, you know, because I felt like at the beginning, it felt like maybe that was a little left out. Like, oh, you're an amputee, you're disabled, so you have to, you know, dress a little less, you know, or look a little less. And I wasn't having any of that. Like, I'm really into fashion. I love looking pretty. I love dressing well. I love, you know, looking awesome all the time. And so why, because I'm missing my arm, should I not? Like, why can't I look like a babe? Like, so I didn't like that. So, I don't know, just a lot of different things and tips, and just a place where everything's kind of in one place. Like, sort of like what you do, you know, you get to talk to cool people and you get to share a lot of information. And I felt like that was missing.
Yeah.
So now that I have a lot of information up here, I can put it out there that people can just go get it, you know?
That's awesome. I think we still need it for sure. You know, I think, you know, making a central spot is important, especially, you know, so much people can see, they always see so much like on Instagram or something like that. Often it's like a photo or a little story or video, but it doesn't really go into the deeper components of it. So that's where, you know, making like a website like you're planning to do is really good, because you can go in a little deeper and people can actually research and see the details they often don't see like on a social media post or things like that. So when are you hoping to have that live?
Oh my goodness. I want to get it. Like, I have the domain name and I have like the site and everything. I just have to do a few more tweaks on it. I'm a little challenged when it comes to, you know, as you know, with, as you saw in the beginning, I'm not very good at, tech. So I just need a little help with getting it up. That's all. But I'm not exactly sure.
Maybe we could help you out with that one. That's what I do.
Oh, yeah?
I'm a tech guy. So,
would you? If you did, then the sooner the better. Then I'll get it up.
Yeah. So, you know, we can help you out most likely on that one. So if that's your blocker, I bet you I can solve that. So
that's my blocker. Yeah.
But cool. Getting towards the end here of the podcast, and so far it's been awesome to really dive in with you. So I was just wondering, is there anything that I should have asked but we didn't talk about that you would like to include?
No, I think it went really well. It was awesome talking to you. I was so nervous, but it went so well. So, yeah,
see?
Thank you.
Told you. I told you not to be nervous. I thought you did great. It was incredible. So, so how can the audience kind of find you in the meantime? How can they connect with you if they had any questions or just wanted to follow you or something like that?
I'm at Heather Harms, Heather, H-A-R-M-Z, on Instagram. That's where I am.
Awesome, Heather. And thank you for joining us today. And
thanks for having me.
Yep. And thank you for all of our listeners listening to another episode. So thank you, everyone, and have a great, fun day.
Take care.